Thank you, my brother. And you do well if you keep your Bible open in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17 and verse 32. There are a few warnings in the Scripture more serious than the one that we find in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 17 and in verse 32. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us these simple words, remember Lot's wife. Now, we need to think about this, and we need to really pause for a moment and ask ourselves this question. What we need to remember about Lot's wife. Let me give you some refreshing data or history about Lot's wife. Lot's wife have a righteous, believing husband. Put one hand here and turn your Bible to 2 Peter, please, in chapter 2, and in verse 7 and 8. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8. The Bible says, remembering Lot's wife, the Bible said, and deliver just Lot, or righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with an unlawful deed. It's like you and I living in the city where we live with all around unrighteous people. But he was a righteous man. What an advantage for a lady. Lot's wife have a believer husband. Lot's wife left Sodom with her husband on the day the Sodom was destroyed. If you go back to the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 19, I read for you verse 15 and 16. Remember this, Lot's wife left Sodom with her husband on the day the Sodom was destroyed. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Verse 16. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand. The angels came and hold upon his hand and upon the hands of his wife and upon the hands of the two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So Lot's wife left Sodom and Gomorrah just before the great destruction. Lot's wife looked back toward the city from behind her husband against God's express command. And she was struck dead at once and turned into a pillar of salt. Right here in Genesis 19, let me keep on reading from verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and die, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one, or let me escape thither. It is not a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Verse 23. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. So we are not afraid of government, we believers, don't we? We are not afraid of government. Government should be afraid of God when they put laws against God's law, because God wiped them off. Verse 26. That his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife looked back. She has looked at the city, the glory of that beautiful city, the things that I have, the house, the curtains, the carpet, the streets, the car, whatever. And she looks back where these gentlemen were talking today. Their conversion was from self to Christ. And self dominates our life more than what you and I think. And so she looks back and a strict disobedience to God's command. And she became a pillar of salt. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ hold her up as a beacon to his church. And he says, believers, remember Lot's wife. So my question is, what can we learn from this serious warning? We know the lady. Now, what can we learn? Well, a few things I can learn. Four or five things, and I share it with you. It is a serious warning when we think the person Jesus named. He does not say, remember Abraham, or remember Isaac, or Jacob, or Sarah. He singles out one whose soul was lost forever. He said, remember that lady that was lost forever. It is a serious warning when we think of the person who gave it. The Lord Jesus is full of love. If you go to John Gospel chapter 13 in verse 1, you find that the Bible tells us that Jesus loves like no one can love. Look at it in the Gospel of John chapter 13 verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Unconditional love. This man with unconditional love, this man who will love his disciple to the end, tell all of us, now remember Lot's wife. It's like saying, don't play with me. Do not play with me. Amazing. If you go to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9, we have been in Sunday school in this Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9 today. If you go to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9, in verse 13, the Bible said, but go, Jesus is speaking, Gospel Matthew 9:13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and no sacrifice. You don't have to do anything to come to Jesus. He will have mercy. Just come to him. You know what mercy is? Mercy is God withholding what we deserve. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. But mercy is God withholding his judgment and accepting us unto him. You're in Gospel 9, and go with me to verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so, the most amazing thing is that this Jesus, who could whip over Jerusalem, unbelieving Jerusalem, and pray for the man that crucified him. Remember, he said, Father, do not have on their account what they are doing. Yet even him thinks it is good for us to remember that we cannot play with God. Remember Lot's wife. If you're a believer, you better think you cannot play with the commandments of God. It is a serious warning when we think of the person to whom it was given. Go back to Luke Gospel chapter 17 and look with me in verse 22. There is the person to whom the alert was given. And he said unto the disciples. He did not address the Pharisees and scribes who hated him, or Peter, or John, James, and many others who really loved the Lord Jesus. Yet even to them, he thinks good to address a caution. He says, disciples, remember Lot's wife. He did not say these words to his enemies or to the unbelievers. He said to the believers. What a great thing it is. He said, remember Lot's wife. It is a serious warning when you consider the manner in which is given. He does not merely say, beware of following or take heed of listening. No, he uses a key word. He used a word in a proper tense who give no choice. He said, remember. Now, the word remember is a verb. And it's an imperative. It's present. And it's active. It's second person. And it's plural. That means to all, not to one. And he said, remember, in the imperative form. That means that when God is speaking the imperative form, there is no choice. I remember when my grandmother used to say, come here, ven aquí. And I listened carefully, and there is two ways to say ven aquí. You can say, little boy, ven aquí. Or grandma can tie her long skirt and say, ven aquí. Ooh. That's a different story altogether. She used the imperative. She don't tell me, but she used it. That means, did leave me no choice. I can have no word, no argument. She said, come here. And Jesus said, remember. No choice. Don't put it away. Not just, oh, okay, that's the saying of Jesus. No, Jesus saying, remember the one who lost their life for disobedience to God. And lost their life forever. He speaks to the church as if we were all in danger of forgetting the subject of obeying God. He proposed us to keep the case before our minds. He is saying, now each time you're going to do something, remember Lot's wife. It's what are you doing, an act of obedience to God or an act of disobedience to God? Like a check machine in your mind. So what is the lesson for us? What did Jesus want you and me to learn about this? I think this is the lesson. You may have a spiritual advantage of every description. You may live in a full sunshine of the richest opportunities and means of grace like Lot's wife did. Perhaps you have your husband who is saved. Perhaps you have your wife who is saved. That is the richest privilege you can have. Perhaps you have an uncle like Abraham, saved and full of money. I used to have one. And I went to him for money and I said, I need this. And he would say, what are you going to do with this? He was an accountant. Perhaps you have an uncle like Abraham, who saved Lot many, many times. You may have parents who are saved. You're a child. And your father and mother knows the Lord, but you don't. And you are in that environment, that glorious environment, living in a palace because your father and mother are saved. Perhaps you live with your uncles, or like myself, with grandparents who were saved. Yet you remain unconverted. And at last, you will be lost forever if you remain in that condition. You may attend a sound church that preaches the word of God. But if you are not a believer, you are no better than Lot's wife. You know that? If you are not a believer, you are just like Lot's wife, who disobeyed God, who careless about God, who only was centered about her possession and her life in that evil city of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, it is not attending church that saves you, but you must have the witness of the Spirit in your heart. You must have repentance of your own. Because your daddy is saved and your mother is saved, you are not saved. I know there are a lot of denominations who baptize their babies at 8 days so that the baby is incorporated into the church. That's wrong. That's Old Testament. And we learn today in Sunday school that the old things pass away. We are not Jewish people. We are Christians. And now you have to face yourself before God. Don't panic. There is a metal wall of partition. That's Christ Jesus. With the two arms like this, getting you and getting God and putting you together. And that's what that thing said. Remember Lot's wife. Don't take it for granted that your mother is saved and your father. Don't take it for granted that your wife is saved and you enjoy the fellowship of your wife and the love of your wife and the care of your wife because she knows the Lord. Don't take it for granted because God can take your life and be lost forever. Remember Lot's wife. I was in an embassy one time, and somebody get ahead of me when they called. So I tapped his shoulder and said, you know, I was first. And he pulled from his pocket a certificate of baptism signed by Pope Paul, remember? He said, this is nothing. You almost grab it. He said, this is my guarantee. Guarantee of what? We talk so much, we lost the turn to God, but we keep on talking. Some people think their guarantee is a piece of paper from a church. Some people believe, okay, this is my certificate of baptism, I'm a Christian. You're not a Christian, the Holy Spirit has to indwell you. You have to acknowledge Christ Jesus as Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings of your life. You have to get the self out of you and put into your life Christ the King. And he's going to tell you what to do. Christ is no American that you vote and you do this and you put money under the table. No, no gambling in heaven. You cannot go to heaven and say, well, I have this under the table. Can I put it on and get in? No, sir. The only thing that God is going to look is Christ Jesus in your heart. The high priest. The atonement. The mercy seat. You're only going to see him. And so you said, my wife was saved. My husband was saved. My mama and daddy was saved. My uncles, my whole family was saved. I went to church with them. And they said, where is Christ in you? Colossians 1:27 said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So my question to you is this. What do we have? Privilege of grace. See, if your family is all saved and you are not, you have privilege, but no grace. If you are saved, you have received the grace of God in your heart. You have received the grace and the power of God. God gave you something that you and I do not deserve. God gave you the knowledge of the Almighty. And so, my friend, what is it? It is grace or it is privilege? If I ask you, are you a Christian? Will you say, yes, my wife is a Christian, my husband is a Christian, and so I'm in a Christian family. That's what you said? Or will you say, yes, Christ dwells in my heart, like these people have said today? We, many of us, don't have to go so down in life in order to ask God for help. But I have met many in my McDonald's visit, in a Starbucks visit. The other day I walked with Brother Kasanjan, and here they are, the ex-drug addicts saying, hey, Pastor, how are you? And I look on them, they have a Bible in their hand and drinking a cup of coffee. And I thought for a moment, I said, how great it is. This guy who was asking for money and was asking for a drug before, and now he has his Bible and a latte to drink. And I see the power of God. But what about us? We are not so down. We are so busy. We are in the school. We are in universities. We're going to get our degrees. And what about the degree that we are children of the living God? This is something we cannot earn. This is something that's given to us. You humble yourself. Put yourself out. And say, God, it is me. I don't want to look back. I want to look forward. Thing challenge, don't ever look back. Just look forward. Thank you, Father, for the blessedness, of having the Lord Jesus in our life. Thank you for the warning of Jesus. Sometimes we feel such a comfort. We feel that nothing is going to embattle us. Nothing is going to stop us because we have everything. But Father, we look back. We look to the self. And these times in America and around the world, when the crisis of economics is so big, I'm so happy about it. No one can think in selling the house and buying. No one is thinking in buying the new car. Everybody is thinking in themselves. What are we going to do in life? And Father, the only thing to do is to take you at your word. If you believe in Jesus, you will have eternal life. And so, Lord, we cannot implant that eternal life. We cannot baptize those people with the grace of God, but you can. And so we pray that those who are listening here in the auditorium, there in the radio, there in the internet, there in television, and later on in the recordings, that they check their heart. Are we looking back? Or are we in Zoar, enjoying the presence of God? Have mercy on us, O God. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
A song of deliverance.
Any doubt, I think this is the best song Tricia brought to us, and how thankful we are. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your Holy Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.